We are 60-odd days away from the next general election, when on the 29th of May, we'll be invited to go to voting stations across the city and the province and the land to go and put a mark next to a political party of your choosing or an independent candidate of your choosing. The Western Cape traditionally has always been a highly contested province in many ways, some of the polling indicating that the majority of the Democratic Alliance might be lost in the province. Not anything I believe, I must admit. I do think that the DA is probably going to return with a majority, reduced one perhaps, but a majority nonetheless in the provincial elections. A total of 28 political parties provisionally contesting the seats in the Western Cape Provincial Legislature. That is yet to be finalized by the IEC. Joining me on the line is a political analyst based at the Institute for Global Dialogue, Sanusha Naidu. Sanusha, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Africa. Sorry, I got a bit of a sore throat.
Oh, you poor thing. I do hope you'll feel better soon. Some of those 28 political parties are parties that we know: the Democratic Alliance, the ANC, EFF, Patriotic Alliance, ACDP, Good Party, Al-Jamaha, UDM, Freedom Front Plus, Action SA, and so forth and so on. We've got new ones like Build One South Africa. We've got Rise Mzansi. We've got an Alliance for Citizens for Change. What do you make of the spectrum of options we have for the electorate in the Western Cape?
I mean, I think there's two ways to interpret that. In one way is that it opens up the space in terms of not just having the same old political parties that perhaps contest an election. And it gives, you know, technically speaking, it gives the electorate choice. On the other hand, it makes it much more complex. And so the challenge for us in South Africa is that when you have a PR system like ours, it tends to get very complicated in terms of whether or not political parties will get threshold votes that they need. But also, the votes can actually be scattered. And when it gets scattered, parties like the DA or even the parties like the smaller parties, they are able to not get that threshold, and it becomes quite a messy affair. So I think what electorate or what voters are going to do is that they are going to be looking at those parties that they know. They are going to be voting for parties that they kind of have a kind of record with or understand. And of course, the newer parties that you mentioned, Build One South Africa, I think it's Rise Mzansi and others, Action SA, Freedom Front Plus, etc., are going to be parties that they kind of have a visibility with. And so those parties will kind of also become quite interesting. Just circling back to a point that you were making in the intro about having the DA perhaps lose its majority or come down from where it was in 2019, I think it's an important point to also raise in the context of which political party is actually then showing a kind of incline in terms of increase of their support base. And I think in some cases, in some polls, it's Freedom Front Plus. But what I would actually also put into the mix is look at the metro. I think the Western Cape only has one metro, and one metro is quite big, whereas in Gauteng you have two and kind of spread the stuff around. But one metro that could actually shift the dynamic as well for the DA in retaining the province, as you rightly point out. But it's outside of the metro where I think some of these dynamics of whether the DA does very well in the Western Cape, etc., will actually be looked at in a much more critical fashion.
You made reference to the Freedom Front Plus, which I think is doing very, very well, and as you say, showing an upward trajectory. A political party that we need to pay attention to this election cycle is a Patriotic Alliance. We've seen them displacing the DA in a number of wards in by-elections over the last couple of years or so, and there seems to be a momentum building for the Patriotic Alliance. How much of a serious threat are they going to be to a DA-led provincial government?
Well, one, that they have a very, very interesting, charismatic, kind of very bullish leader. And he makes very bold statements. And those statements come across as, you know, taking a real chink out of the armor of the DA. I actually think that that's going to be important outside in areas outside of the Cape Metro, particularly in those smaller political communities where someone like Gates and McKenzie, would essentially come out and make those very, very bold statements about the DA not working for those communities. And we saw this more recently with the whole question of the disappearance of the child in, on the West Coast in Salgado Bay, where he came out using his resources, challenging the authorities in that area, and saying that, you know, he's going to come out and be the next president of the country, etc. And I think this is the kind of politics that you're going to have to expect from him and his party. And they have actually appealed to the imagination and perhaps to the voters in these areas where perhaps these voters don't feel as if they are part of a DA-led Western Cape, but rather feel that they're on the fringes of that. And there are certain communities that have constantly argued that they're not necessarily being, taken seriously or being actually considered as what their grievances are in terms of being in a DA-led province. So I think that's where these kinds of political parties like the Patriotic Alliance, with very, very charismatic leaders like Gayton McKenzie, who can then be as bold as to not be unapologetic for the statements he makes, he becomes quite popular. But also, I think we've got to be very, very careful in assuming that these leaders are there for the interests of the electorate.
Yeah, because they don't come across as that sometimes, or at least some of the leaders who are leading these political parties. Rise Mzansi will be, I suppose, untested going into this election. Tsonga Zozibi resonating very well nationally. I'm not sure how he's doing provincially. Build One South Africa should have a good support base in the Western Cape, I would imagine. How does that impact on the ANC's ability to stay as the official opposition, do you think, in the provincial legislature?
Well, it raises a number of challenges for the ANC, one of which is that it hasn't really been able to coalesce, to coherently deepen its identity in the Western Cape. It has serious struggles within the inner sanctum of the province's party. And of course, there have been challenges around whether or not you appeal to particular constituencies, the one being that, maybe Minister Naledi Pandor needs to come back as the Premier for the Western Cape for the ANC. I mean, these are some of the challenges, the difficulties, and the kind of trajectories the party has been going through. It's never really recovered, is what I'm saying. It constantly is looking to band itself together in a very kind of elastic way, but that elastic is becoming increasingly rigid for it. I think parties like Arise and Zanzi, like Build One South Africa, and I think to some extent Freedom Front Plus, will have constituencies in the province. And one of those would be those constituencies that actually appeal to the middle-class voter beyond the DA. And of course, that would be important. But I think what happened to Musi Meomani at Guguletu a few days ago, where residents got very, very agitated and said, "Don't use crime as your factor here," also has to be brought into context. Because again, I think that transactional approach to how political parties have used socio-economic issues to then correlate that into their election manifestos and use that as part of their election campaigning has also kind of irked communities, because communities are saying, this has been an age-old debate. This has been a constant problem for us. So don't make it an election problem. It's a community problem. It's a societal problem. It's a problem that hasn't been resolved for a number of issues, whether there's a lack of resources, there's a lack of attention, whatever. And that's been something I think is important for parties to understand. So I think for the three parties that we mentioned, it's going to be difficult to say that they're going to make a major dent for the DA. I think there will be pockets and constituencies, depending which wards you're looking at. But I think for the ANC has to regroup itself. And I'm not sure whether it's because of the newer parties, but it's because of its own internal dynamics.
Sanusha, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for your time this morning. Sanusha Naidoo, political analyst at the Institute for Global Dialogue. I deliberately left out Umkhonto Wesizwe political party because I don't think it's going to be a massive factor or disruptor in the Western Cape at all. And we were talking about the provincial ballot, by the way. There will be a regional ballot that has 33 political parties contesting for the seats allocated in the National Assembly to the Western Cape. Included in that, of course, is the independent candidate Zaki Ahmad. There's a further 56 political parties who will be contesting the National Assembly ballot. So there'll be much, much choice for you to consider. Have you made your decision yet, by the way? We're just over 2 months out. Have you? You don't have to tell me who you're going to vote for, but have you made your decision as to who you're going to vote for? Are you still to be persuaded? WhatsApp me to 072 507 1567.